You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Look, I'm no beer expert, but I do play one on podcasts. And that's why you should trust me and that Oscar Blues Brewing Company is one of the best beers out there, the original people to put craft beer in a can with their Dale's Pale Ale, which, by the way, is also delicious. So, you know, convenient to support that. And they've got all kinds of flavors, 4 different locations, 2 in Colorado, 1 in Austin, 1 in North Carolina. Delicious beers, big supporter of OneOfUs.net. Well worth going out of your way to go to the breweries and check it out, where you can get lots of seasonals not available elsewhere, as well as their homemade sodas. Oh my God, they're so good. And just buy them in the store, because you can find their cans all over the place. So delicious. Also, please, if you're not already a subscriber, I mean, come on, as little as $2 a month, $5 a month, or if you want to go up to 10 or 25 as well, there's different perks at every single level where you get lots of bonus stuff inside of the forums of extra podcasts and videos and all sorts of stuff that we do. It is the only reason we're able to keep going. Also, think about liking us on all our various different social media, especially our YouTube page. We'd love to get more likes on there. That does make a difference because we do get ad revenue from those things. So please, if you go on there and subscribe to our YouTube page, that makes a difference as well. There is no movie that's about a shark killing people that people will not be excited about seeing. And Hollywood knows this now, which is why it surprises me. It took them 10 years to get the Meg to movies. Because this book series, yes, no kidding, people, look it up. There's like 9 of them. Look, it's one of those that has a cult following. People have been dying to get this. Multiple directors have come to it and like toyed with it, and it just never happened.
And it took the budget of China to make it.
Yeah, but I mean,
no, it took a renewed interest in giant things to get it made.
Well, I mean, as Richard pointed out earlier, yes, this is one of those films that's definitely partially made for a Chinese audience.
Oh,
it's co-financed by the Chinese. There's a strong Chinese influence.
You say Li Bingbing being in this movie didn't tell you that?
Right. And you know,
you say Bing 3 times.
Not since
4 times it gets sponsored by Microsoft.
Not since Skyscraper have we seen a movie so actually for the Chinese as we've seen.
I was
the
just
Met.
About to say, like, yeah, Skyscraper brings up memories.
But I mean, in this case, it's not just a big shark. It's the biggest shark. It's the giantest shark.
Carcharodon megalodon.
Is that the full?
That's the full Latin name.
Are you gonna don't at me?
I'm gonna question Matt on this.
I know.
Really?
I just whatever Matt says, I'm just gonna go with it.
Thank you. Finally, someone listens to me.
Well, it's your one subject. Let's be fair.
One. I know a lot about 2 things:
giant things that want
giant
to eat humans.
Things that want to eat people, and I guess I can draw.
I'll hand you both of those things.
Well,
you're excellent at both of those things.
Somehow, I managed to get married.
You also married well, so
I got something going for me.
Chris, how can you say no to a movie directed by the director of 3 Ninjas
and Cool Runnings?
Oh my God.
A national treasure.
National treasure movies.
Ugh. He's a national treasure.
Ugh. Oh my God. And the Harper's Island television series. oh my God. And
phenomenal.
Should we do a quick roundtable to let people know who's on this?
Well, everyone knows Matt Frank is on this now. Because he's Matt Frank.
He is so giddy. How could you mistake him?
He was like giddy the whole movie.
Of course he was. Eating a shit ton of candy today. So
it was like me watching the movie, except I was drunk. Patience and Ben are both here.
Yes, and yay. I was also drunk.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Okay, so let's start off here because we've got to a little bit say that like you guys saw it in one screening,
yes,
in a theater like peasants.
I see how it is.
Like a regular theater.
Hey, Chris, you saw it in an inner tube while being disappointed.
Yeah, I did. That's true. Except the fact that I was in an inner tube floating in the water and kind of drunk.
On Lake Travis with free food and free booze and, you know, water slides.
Stupid Comic Cons.
You're dead to us. Well, this movie was great.
Alamo did their last, they do regularly, like, on the water screenings
Shark,
at this place
Jaws
in town
water,
called
yeah.
Volante Beach, which is
about 30 minutes from here.
Is that the nudist beach?
No,
no,
it is not.
I'm disappointed.
That's Hippie Hollow. Yeah.
What the fuck is the point?
We can make this work.
they're going to show Showgirls there, though, next week.
So. It's a different kind of energy.
And it was like one of those, it's a water park with water slides, so we all went out there. They have food trucks. We had a really good time hanging out with Martin.
Martin and Corey from Double Toasted.
Yeah, and some other friends. And we just like,
yeah.
We had a great time. We all got super...
You're both dead to me.
Loaded and drunk for free. And then we floated on what was supposed to be the
water,
but instead being like water that was about a foot above giant pieces of broken concrete with pieces of metal sticking out.
No bueno.
Yeah.
Well, we were having way too much fun, so we got there a little bit into the water a little bit late.
Yeah, so
we
right
were like
front.
Right up at
the front. So the free alcohol was to make you ignore the tetanus. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I actually popped my inner tube.
She did.
Oh,
on a piece of rebar.
They gave her another.
Jesus.
I mean, they gave me another one. But.
Yeah, but yeah. Still, the fact that, like, I mean, the thing is, like, people have to walk through all that. So it's like, you don't want to clean that shit up. Anyway, the upshot is, though, outside of the rebar, it was actually a pretty cool experience.
We had a really good time.
And I will say, their screen, like when you go see a movie in Alamo, you expect a certain level of quality for projection. This had that for a projection screen outside. I don't know how they did it, but they did for a giant blow up screen, and the sound quality was also. But that was the thing I was most worried about. This giant outdoor area. I was like, the sounds. I'm worried. I'm not even able to hear what's going on. But no, you could hear it just fine.
Rolling Road Show has never once let me down.
It hasn't actually. It's been great every time.
I will say though, their plan was they gave you bracelets, rubber bracelets that you would wear.
Yeah.
Like that you could like trade for drinks
you
with
trade,
people.
Yeah. You
like who bartenders who would supposedly come
and
take
they're color coded.
And they had a glow in the dark necklace that you were supposed to swing around. The movie is so loud.
Yeah.
They would be. Like several times, you would be like, "What do you want?"
Rum
and you were like,
punch!
"What?
Give me the bottle."
Yeah, and then everybody just ended up getting out of the water to go order at the bar because it was ridiculous.
You
it was
might
a
as well.
Pointless system.
Well, us up but, front, we did that. The ones in the back, they were near.
Yeah,
to
if you were
the
near the
bar.
If you were near the side. Yeah. Then you were safe. If you weren't, no drinks for you.
Did
anyway,
you scuba divers pouring.
I still drank my fill. I drank all my bracelets.
Just put.
How
just,
many of Chris's did you drink?
I just say, just you. Phil. At this point, Austin should just fill like Travis with booze and everybody just has a big straw.
We wouldn't have a drought anymore. Actually, we'd have to double drought.
Well, anyway, that being said, and big thanks to the Alamo for inviting
love
us.
It.
If you ever get a chance to do any of their roadshow stuff or any of their Jaws in the Water, which they do, I'm still like, why haven't they done, what's the
like,
one?
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea.
Yes.
I'm like,
that was the biggest thing I was talking about before the
shit,
movie.
I would watch The Abyss on the water. Fuck it. You know?
I would watch anything on the water,
that's
to be
true.
Honest.
Yeah.
I would watch Sophie's Choice on the water.
Schindler's List in the Water was an odd
ironweed.
So the movie.
Let's
talk about the Meg.
Well, yeah.
Now that they're done bragging, let's get to the thing we're here about.
Or as I call it, the meh.
The See, I think Chris is in the minority this fucking time.
Chris,
finally.
What is it like
in
to be
room.
Dead inside and not to know how to have fun anymore?
My biggest issue with this film, which follows a giant megalodon shark, which is like a shark the size of a city bus, basically.
Yeah.
Is that it promises to be big, dumb, and fun.
Which it is.
Okay,
and
it is all those things.
It was none of those things.
That's
I was
fine.
Like,
you saw a different movie. Let's move on.
I feel like I did. Because
did you fall asleep?
I
just
kept,
have a dream?
I kept going like, why isn't this better? Why isn't this better? You got Jason Statham as the ultimate choice. Only The Rock would have been a better choice for the lead in this movie than Jason Statham.
I think Jason Statham being nondescript, maybe part of some military at some point guy, is completely good.
I don't know. I just kept going through going like, every time you start to build up to something that should be cool, you cut away too soon. And it's just kind of lame. And every time it should be a lead up to a great one-liner, it's not. It's just banal and not trying very hard. It felt like Patton Oswalt needed to step in here and write some punch up.
That's exactly the same thing you said about Skyscraper.
This movie feels like...
Well, but it was true there,
no,
too.
No, see, for me, this movie felt like if you took what was good about Deep Blue Sea and then had the cast actually have comedic timing and sarcasm, which is all that movie was really missing because... Otherwise, that movie's literally just seeing Samuel L. Jackson eaten by a shark.
I thought that was a comedic timing masterpiece compared to this.
I mean, I agree. I think it could have made fun of itself a little bit more.
Had a bit more actual carnage. Even when they're when we finally, if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the first half of the trailer, he's like, we're undersea. It's very serious. Oh, God, there's a giant shark. What do? Jason Statham looking, ugh. And then halfway through the trailer, they switch to a different, like, playful song, and it's thousands of people swimming and the shark coming up to presumably eat people. That whole sequence is like 5 minutes of the fucking film, and it's not. It just, every time it's about to go, wah, here's the thing, it's going to, wah, the carnage. It's like, okay, well, there was no actual carnage. This movie could have been PG. It was so not violent.
As, like, someone who is really in love with gore, I thought it was fine. I mean, it was kind of what I expected for a summer blockbuster movie.
Any kind of, I don't know, I felt like the action was... I felt like this movie actually benefited a lot, yeah, personally, you know. I felt like this movie benefited, actually, from having a really breezy pace and a really, really breezy editing.
Yeah.
And it just... I just felt like it really moved at a good clip. And it did something really interesting, which is... So it has what I like to call efficient crisis storytelling, which is you have... And monster movies are actually really good. It's actually one of the reasons why I like Shin Godzilla. I know, Chris. I know.
I love it, too.
I know. Chris, calm down. I know.
I'm glaring at him right now.
That look of disappointment is one Matt's familiar with when he explains his job to his parents.
I still can't believe you saw Shin Godzilla in Japanese, which, by the way, Matt does not speak. The first time, and came out of it going, that was great, considering 90% of it is dudes in boardrooms talking to each other. I feel like for Matt, you have to say, does not
speak yet. Yeah, I'm working my way up to it. Every time I go, I learn at least 5 new words. And eventually, I'll have the whole lexicon. Sorry.
No, we haven't even said what the plot is.
Well, do the plot. I mean, it's...
Tell the plot.
Bleh, yourself.
No, that's you.
No, really. I know. Okay. Actually, tell the plot.
So, the basic plot is, Jason Statham's character, like you were saying, was apparently some kind of a military rescue. He was a deep sea rescue operative of some kind. There was this tragic accident where he had to make a difficult call and some people die, but he managed to save a bunch of other people. But he knows that something caused the accident. There's something down there in the deepest part
something
of the ocean.
Something big.
Something alive. Something.
Can you say that with more Jason Statham-y?
I'm bad at accents.
Yeah. Sound gravelly and British?
Yeah, I can do gravelly.
Something big! I don't know, that's my go-to Nick Hodges voice. I'm on it, stop now! He decides, I'm done diving because I saw something, nobody believes me, fuck it, I'm out.
They literally say he had sea madness.
Sea madness! And so, anyway...
I'm thinking about Ren and Stimpy, okay.
Meanwhile, there's this deep sea, like kind of deep water horizon type setup, but it's not that. It's supposedly some sort of a... It's never really clear...
It's the station from the abyss, but different.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
But paid for by the very benevolent, very helping the whole world.
Very altruistic.
People of China.
Well, it's paid by Rain Wilson the Chinese.
And the Chinese, yeah.
So they're set up this deep water exploration thing that's supposedly trying to find out what's actually at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. Because it may be deeper than we thought it was. Because there's this whole science, bullshit. There's a layer of thermal whatever. And... It's all explained in the book that you can buy now on SteveAlton.com.
Which only Matt has read.
Thank you. I actually recently re-listened to the audiobook. We'll get back
once again, there's 9 books, more than people than Matt have read it.
Just need to read the first one. There's an accident occurs, and they decide...
Accident,
quote-unquote, occurs, and they decide we need to go get Jason Statham to come in and help save these people.
Even though he's perfectly happy in Asian land.
What the fuck? It's know. Thailand!
Is it Thailand? I couldn't remember. I don't know.
Where else can you drink that consistently and have Thai ladyboys? I mean, Austin. Have a boat that fishes for you.
No, he's very happy in a part of the world where he can drink. No one bothers him. He gets to eat amazing food and he's living in...
Until Cliff Curtis comes up to him and they do the "you son of a bitch" type of hug.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, he he's basically, he's brought back because apparently one of the divers is his ex-wife, which I have a note on, but I'll get back to that.
It really felt like the abyss there as well.
It did feel very abyssy.
Yeah.
So he went to, he helps, and through a series of shenanigans, there's a hijinks ensue. The thermal layer is breached, and the thing that caused all these accidents has caused all this destruction already. The king or queen, we should say, of this underwater domain, the Megalodon.
Lo and behold, a Megalodon.
It escapes the thermal layer and gets up out into the world, and now Jason Statham and his ragtag team of international buddies are going to go fight. This Scooby gang of marine biologists are going to go fight the Meg.
Despite the fact that it's very clear, and even someone mentions it at some point, maybe we should call in help. Yes, you think?
Yeah, but they...
You think you should call the Navy?
The characters that actually tell them, we're doing a really stupid thing. And he's like, yeah, but fuck it. I'm Jason Statham. I'm going to do this.
I'm just like, guys,
and
seriously?
Ray, I mean, I can't remember his name. Rainn Wilson's character. Jack Morris.
He's basically the audience. I
thought he was kind of like the evil corporate, you know, like, again, back to like the abyss or, you know, like the evil corporate CEO. We're going to make the decisions.
They try to play with you that he's not. And then, of course, he kind of...
But it was more like he wanted to deal with it himself. And I also love that they made him that much of the douchebag that when he deals with it
he's
exactly what you expect from him in every way. And then, what's his name?
I mean, honestly, Kennedy, they didn't...
DJ was also the
voice of
reason. They
didn't share the point that his business, like his actual boss was Steve Carell. So,
why didn't they put that in?
He was making all the decisions, and they make him out to be such a douchebag that you're like, of course he's going to make terrible decisions. Like, of course he's not going to call in the Coast Guard, though he said he would.
I love that scene when he tries to assure them, and you're like, oh, that's pretty good. And he's like, so we're gonna go do this, right? Like, yeah, we got the dynamite. Let's do this.
We got a bunch of depth charges that we made in our fucking basement. We're gonna go try to blow up this shark so we can avoid a lawsuit.
And Ruby Rose, who's like traditionally has only been in parts where she shows off what a great physical actress she can be.
I mean, John Wick
is actually given her chance here to not do any physical action and just talk. And you're like, yeah, bad call. Go back to physical acting because you are not a good actress.
I want to say Winston Chow as the Doctor Nguyen Zhang. His thing was funny to me. Where he was like, this is what we always do. We go out here and we just kill nature. I'm like, this thing just ate three boats. Like, this is when you say we should let it live.
He's almost a parody of the Dr. Yamane character from, like, the original Godzilla, who's like, we can't destroy it, we must study it. And even Rainn Wilson is like, like, he actually does that at one point, and I kind of loved that.
I will say, like, in defense of this film, the effects, the shark looks great.
Yeah,
like, the actual effects for the shark are terrific.
I really appreciated that it wasn't just a giant great white, which is what a lot of people tend to do when they recreate megalodons. They just make a big great white. This was like this big, wrinkly, kind of gross, chunky brown shark, which is, I'm honestly a little disappointed that it wasn't like in the book, because in the book, it's a white bioluminescent shark because it lives under the sea.
Right, that would have made sense.
And that's why it actually takes them, in the book, it takes them a long time to kill it because it keeps diving deep during the day, so they lose track of it, and because the sunlight hurts it. But then eventually, it's drawn up to the surface, it gets blinded by the sun. But then it doesn't hate the sun anymore, so now it's just on a rampage. So it's like this escalation of bullshit.
So you're saying it was blinded by the light and then got revved up like a deuce?
Oh, my God.
We're not friends anymore. I'm just kidding.
One of my biggest problems, I think, and this was like the only problem I think I had with the movie, was it just starts in such an awkward way because it just starts with like this flashback sequence, but you don't know it's a flashback.
I honestly thought they had screwed up the reels.
Yeah, I thought they had screwed up the reels.
So?
Yeah, and then I was like, I also was trying to get a new inner tube at the time, but I came back and I thought they had messed up the reels, and then I was like, oh, so it's they're just playing the end of the movie at the beginning. Like, that was my second. And then it wasn't until I just read the preface of the book that Matt brought, because he brought the fucking book, his signed autographed copy of the book.
Number 4,472 of 5,000.
Yeah, with the...
We're no longer friends anymore.
With the supposed to be the top of a shark, but it looks like a gilf badge, I'm just saying.
It does look like
I need to borrow this book just for 15 minutes.
But it wasn't until I read the preface of the inside cover, I was like, oh, that's what was going on. Now it makes sense
to me.
See,
I got it right away.
Did you?
Yes. Yeah,
we also had been drinking.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say, I have a different perspective because I just recently re-listened to the audiobook, and so they changed a couple of it. Shut up, Chris.
You knew what you were getting into.
The audiobook twice?
No, I listened to the, shut up.
He read the whole series.
I read
the
book back when I was like
you
in
read
high school.
All the books?
No, I just read the first one.
Oh, okay.
And then I've read a little bits of the other ones and I'm like, but, I read the first one back.
The story really went downhill after number three.
I read the first one in like high school and then, when I heard the movie was coming out, I went ahead and got the audiobook on audible.com.
That part where the Coppola dollar shows up and is the character. Why are you even in this? You're terrible. I'm sorry.
When the Megalodon started dating the giant squid, it got really weird.
Oh, my God. Why is it? I mean, shut up.
That's how you get Sharktopus.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, what I actually appreciated was, as the only person, you're getting a high five, bro, you're leaving her hanging, as the only person in the room who's read the book, I really appreciated that they took the basic setup of the book and really trimmed the fat. They took the basic setup and they made it super efficient and just kind of hit the highlights. The one thing I have to point out, now... At first, I was a little on the fact that it's like, oh, it turns out that it's Jason Statham's ex-wife, and she's the one who's down there, kind of out of nowhere, and then she doesn't have a whole lot to do for the rest of the movie. One thing I actually, that didn't bother me that much, because in the book, that character is a raging bitch. And to the point where you start to wonder if Steve Alton has a little bit of a problem with women. Yeah. And
here they didn't do that at all.
They didn't. No. She's actually like super supportive in the movie. She's go get you some.
They make a whole point about how they were only together for a year, mm-hmm. and it was like kind of a toxic relationship. And
it made sense that she was hired there because they made it clear that Cliff Curtis's character Mac kind of hired everyone there, and that's why he like knows like a quarter of the crew already. It's like, okay, cool. If he hired everyone, of course he'd hire his ex-wife, because his ex-wife is clearly the best pilot in the world.
But at the same time, like, they're trying to set up another relationship between Statham and, was it Li Bingbang?
Yeah.
Who is, there's no chemistry of any kind.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's like an afterthought.
She
of
saw
a
hot 60-year-old
so
man.
There, it's really like, it's so in the background.
But
like, it's
he
just
has rapport
like,
with her daughter.
Yeah.
That turns women on with, I assume.
Really liked I thought the little girl was actually really cute. I thought she had some fun lines.
She was my favorite character in the film.
Yeah, well, hey, I'll give you that. I don't know. I thought that they didn't have, like, it wasn't like, I'm trying to think of, like, any number of shitty Hollywood movie romances, but I don't know. I thought it was fine.
In Jurassic World?
I didn't. It was better than that. That's for sure.
Oh boy.
Final thoughts. Patience, keep going.
Oh, me first.
Yeah,
oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed myself. I like this movie a lot.
You wouldn't shut up about it the whole world.
I'm rolling my eyes right now at Chris because he wouldn't shut up about it the whole ride.
It's true. It's true. We were at loggerheads.
I like this movie. I thought it was a fun film. How can you ever say no to Jason Statham chasing down a giant dinosaur prehistoric shark thing? It was fun. I think that Chris is just jaded. And
As Courtney would say, I'm an old.
And old. I had a good time. Especially, again, thanks to Alamo Drafthouse and the Rolling Road Show, because we had a blast. You should have seen Chris's face when he came down the water slide. It was hysterical.
Wait, there's a water slide,
God
too?
God damn it.
There was multiple water slides.
We're both flipping out. so dead to
both flipping you off.
I did, in fact, try to get you guys in, and as it turned out there, no one gave a fuck. So y'all could have come in and said, yeah,
you guys could have,
they're with us too, and they would play room and like,
just drive up to Leander and see what happens.
I had a con this past weekend, so fair otherwise enough. I would have totally done it.
I had a con this past weekend.
Was it a long con?
Oh,
Mask the most popular man in Temple.
Apparently.
But no, this movie, I highly recommend this movie. If you want something fun, I mean, this was like right up there with Skyscraper as far as summer blockbusters for me.
Oh my God.
Because this was just, it's an amazing action hero. He's doing his thing. It's in the water. Fucking love this shit. And I give 7.5 shark fin hats out of 10.
Two films that are both heavily Chinese produced. She's like, America must die under communism.
I don't need to die. We just need to accept our owners.
I actually appreciated that they said it. I was going to say, I actually really appreciated it in the movie. They said at one point, we can't count on the government for anything. We can kill this thing ourselves. And I'm like, all right, cool. I appreciate that.
Or you could at least call them and give it a what.
Well, they did. Yeah. And they said, a giant shark, that's fucking stupid. And I'm
Which is like, oh, so wait, aren't these guys, that guy like a billionaire, like, scientist?
I don't know if he was
like
a billionaire.
Huge,
I think
everyone
just
the most famous, like, ocean fucking whatever you call it, people in the world.
And actually, both the billionaires and famous people
I'm
were
sorry,
dead.
None of that made any sense. But anyway, Ben, go. Final thoughts.
Honestly, I'm with Patience on this. I kind of just really love this movie. I was sitting there with Matt, and just Matt leans over to me. He's like, I love this movie. I'm like, I kind of do too. And it is incredibly stupid. This movie is literally, this is, if you ever watched Fast and the Furious and you said you enjoy this movie, that's what this is. This is Fast and the Furious with a giant shark. The plot doesn't matter. The cast even realizes halfway through, they're like, wow, our lives are really stupid, and this whole thing's really stupid. Every time Lee Bingbing is flirting with Jason Statham, Matt's laughing his ass off next to me at the. I didn't love you this much.
She does this little cute thing with the little. Oh, it's cute.
Hey, there's funny that you have to turn your brain off on. It's like, yeah, this shark, you know, trying to eat a person, like just a single person, is like us chasing a French fry that fell out of the bag as you walk up the stairs.
I mean, we're definitely not here for the plot.
No, but as Chris said earlier, even the special effects are actually pretty damn good. It's a lot of fun. You know, the cast seems to be having a good time with it. It might be, in my opinion, one of the best Chinese produced or paid for movies we've had come out of the United States. It's just a good time. It's kind of the summer blockbuster. That's not a Marvel movie that I wanted. Mostly because the summer Marvel movies, besides Ant-Man and Wasp, are really kind of depressing if you really pay attention to it. It's a fun movie. Go out and see it. I give it 8 out of 10 really overdone helicopter crashes at in the last act.
A mad friend. Wait, actually, I'm going to give mine first.
All right.
That way we can just let him rant.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. You know, thanks. Good, good, bad, good.
I mean, you describe this as Fast and the Furious, but the Fast and the Furious constantly pays off.
By saying family?
Funny, super, super funny lines. Huge, like, cool action sequences that may be implausible, but you've never seen anything like it before. There's nothing in here that's not like anything you've seen before. It's all very kind of tedious. There's lots of just undersea waiting, lots of looking at infrared screens. There's lots of, like, okay, so the shark jumps up out of the water, but then we don't see, like, oh, I guess that guy got eaten, but not a dog, apparently. there's just so much here that's just thoroughly mediocre, and I wanted something crazy. You sell me this giant megalodon versus Jason Statham, the only point in this whole film that I was like, all right, that was cool, in the so dumb it was kind of cool, is how he was defeated, which is, at that point, was like, this is so stupid that I'm kind of giving it points, but I feel like I shouldn't even, because the rest of the film was never up to this level. I found most of this incredibly boring. Mm. I will admit, not only was I pretty drunk when I was watching this, but I also was very regularly distracted. I do not recommend doing Rolling Roadshow on the water if it's the first time you've seen a film. With Jaws, I'd be like, man, I know this motherfucking movie.
Yeah.
You know, I know this is great.
They also scare you with divers.
And it's definitely a film I'm going to come back to and watch again at some point. Like,
I think you'll change your mind. I think if you watch this movie again, I think you'll appreciate it.
Maybe I will, but as it was watching it, I mean, first thing, I was like, Masioka's in this film and he doesn't teleport out. What was that?
Toshi! no!
I thought this was so utterly mediocre and just not fun. I give it 3 out of 10.
Wow.
Much better shark films than this.
Come on, Chris, smile, you son of a bitch.
Mad friend.
I just need to have that play on a loop, like whenever we do reviews and it gets to be my turn for final thoughts. My name said in a beleaguered sigh.
That's your next intro on The Gathering.
There you go. I'm really with the other two on this review because I really enjoyed myself. I think that, in the words of Jeff Schussler, Matt, you just like anything with a big thing in it.
Crazy.
Yes.
Boy, crazy. Do I have some 70s porn to show you.
And now, I have to counterpoint that by saying I thought Fallen Kingdom sucked. I thought
no, you're right.
It made me dislike Jurassic World more.
You've been very reasonable lately.
I didn't care for Pacific Rim Uprising. I don't care if you throw in Mechagodzilla at the end of it. It's not going to make me like Ready Player One anymore.
You still like Rampage a lot more than I did. But even you admitted this isn't a good movie. But I had fun with it anyway.
It's very.
And I was like. I just went with this isn't a good movie. Except for the gorilla. The gorilla's awesome.
See, I actually think that Rampage is better, and I think some people give it credit for, because I think you have to have a certain amount of cleverness to make something that's that kind of dumb and make it entertaining at the same time. And for me, I felt like this was very in that kind of similar vein as Rampage. I sort of take issue a little bit with the... it's dumb, but I liked it mentality, because I feel like you shouldn't have to qualify or apologize for your enjoyment of something. I don't know.
Sure, I agree with that.
I just feel like I really enjoyed this. I thought it was silly and fun, considering how many fucking unwatchable killer shark movies there are out there. Mm-hmm. I felt like this was a way higher on the. On the scale, and I just recently watched Jaws 2 and Jaws 3 to get hyped for this. So I had my bar was nice and low. Well, Jaws 2 is boringly competent.
Agreed.
But yeah. Earlier I said, what did I say? It was efficient crisis storytelling, which is to build on that. Basically, you have your characters, you have your crisis, your characters get just enough, personality and defining features to make them fun to watch, but then get all that shit out of the way. You're not going to dwell on this. We've got a giant shark to fight, and that's why I like Shin Godzilla. That's why I like Pacific Rim. You know, it's got just enough going on to where I'm enjoying it and I'm engaged, and then there's monster shenanigans. So that's kind of where I'm at with this, and I will totally be buying this on Blu-ray. I'm super going to enjoy watching it again. I'm going to try to drag my wife to go see it.
I will text her a warning.
Cool, thanks. thanks for keeping my home life nice and stable.
You suck with you through this many Godzilla movies.
Well, you know, you're not wrong. I'm actually going to give this a solid 7 out of 10 giant prehistoric sea monsters that better goddamn well be in the sequels.
Can I ask you if you actually found out that there was some sort of giant kaiju type monster?
Oh, you guys wouldn't see me again. I'd be gone. I'd be out on the
boat looking
for this thing.
You would go and be one of those people like I am with haunted houses, where you're like the white guy who's like, yay, let's go into the haunted house and spend the night. You're like, yay, let's go step into the mouth of the leaping fucking kaiju.
He'd be the people standing on top of the buildings in Independence Day. Praise the aliens. Hello, welcome.
Woo, giant shark, eat me!